Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well, whether you are in here with us in the multi-purpose building, whether you are over in our sanctuary or maybe sitting outside, probably not in the parking lot, but I would say that if you're outside, you might be sitting in your car. We're glad that you have joined us today. We trust and pray that the Lord is going to do some special things in your heart and your life today as we give heed to the Holy Spirit's movement. As we begin today, let's just ask the Lord to dwell here with us today, to teach us, to draw us close to Him during this very special time of the year. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you, we once again want to praise your name and thank you just for this opportunity. Lord, it seems like through this time of pandemic, there have been so many things that that we had taken for granted that we realize today that we had been taking them for granted. Lord, even the opportunity just to be able to come together, to meet one another, to shake a hand, to give a hug, whatever that may have been in the past was so easy, but today, Lord, we have to be so cautious. So, Father, I pray that you will truly help us indeed today to realize the blessings in our hearts and in our lives. May we truly be thankful, and Lord, may our priorities be in the right place with you today. So help us, Lord. Help us to give ear to what the Spirit will tell us through your word. Lord, as we gather around in song, and Father, in every aspect of what we do, help us to lift you up that you truly might draw all men unto you. So bless our time as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one thing I want to mention real quick before we get started, actually two quick things. We'll let you know a little bit more as we go forward, but the Lottie Moon Post Office is actually set up. For those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about when I say the Lottie Moon Post Office, the concept behind the Lottie Moon Post Office was that it helps keep you from paying postage to send Christmas cards to people, you know, within our church. So right outside the kitchen there in the hallway of the educational building is a box, and it has little letters that you put them in there alphabetically based on last name. So if you were going to do Christmas cards and send them to people in the church, instead of putting the postage on there, take the postage that you would put on the envelope and put that in the Lottie Moon offering, and then you could just stick your cards in the Lottie Moon Post Office. And then people will go by and just pick them up. So if you're here on campus, or if you happen to stop by, you can go by, you can go to your last name, pick them out, flip through them, and pick your Christmas cards out. So we want to let you know that's already up. We also want to let you know that we do plan to have our Christmas Eve communion service. We're going to do that at two different times. We're going to do it at 6 and 6:30. Now, just to mention, that's all we do. Christmas Eve communion is just a time where we come together to be mindful of why we really celebrate Christmas. If you do have family in, we encourage you to bring them. I'm not going to preach at you. It's a simple communion service as a reminder of not only the birth of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas, but also the sacrifice that he made for us on Calvary's cross, as we do this in remembrance of him. So the two different times that we picked are 6 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Now, if you're still not getting out and you do not feel comfortable, we want to encourage you at some point stop by the church and pick up one of the little communion cups that are hermetically sealed. We're going to actually either do it live, or we're going to do an immediate post after that particular communion service so that you'll join us. Our intent is to try to do that in a live manner so that if you're not here, you'll still be able to join us at home. And we'll provide you with that little communion cup as well as the bread if you can stop by here and pick those up. If you've got family members, bring them. It's a come-as-you-are thing. It is quick. You're in and out, but we trust and pray that those few minutes will be so very meaningful to each and every one of us. I know that it is for me. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that we're in that time where we take up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. If you've taken opportunities, and I hope and trust that you have over this past week, to tune in to our social media site, Tony has been spotlighting some of our missionaries that are on the field. We appreciate all his hard work in doing that. And if you're sitting there going, oh man, I haven't done that, they're still there. You can go back and look at them by the days. Tony did a great job in spotlighting, along with some resources from IMB to let you see firsthand what a lot of our missionaries do. One thing I love about Central is we don't just sit there and take up an offering and say, here, this is what we're going to do, and we've done our part with missions. We love the fact that people actually go. We go on these mission trips. We put feet, what they call it, feet in the sand on location. So we want to encourage you not only to contribute and support to the Lighting Moon Christmas offering, but we also want you to be a part of our missions that not only go on here locally, but around the United States as well as overseas. So we'll let you know a little bit more about those as well. But Tony's got a little video he wants you to see from IMB, and then he's going to follow up with that with a few words. So if we'll go ahead and roll the video, Jeffrey.
For many weeks, our churches have been unable to have physical gatherings. But by God's mercy, the Church of Jesus Christ continues. The Southern Baptist Convention continues. For 175 years, we have pressed forward together through wars, disasters, plagues, economic downturns, and political upheavals. Our effort of proclaiming Christ around the world has never stopped. Your support, your prayers, your gifts, all of us working together as the body of Christ have kept our missionaries on the field over the decades and keeps them there now. God is at work around the world in the most amazing ways, and He is using you, your family, and your church to help your missionaries, our missionaries, as they move forward with the gospel. The Derbyshires partner with churches in the United States to lead mobile clinics all over Thailand, using medicine as a means to share the gospel with those who have no other access. Christ is proclaimed, disciples are made, and churches are planted. In Kenya, IMB missionary Kristen Lowry believes the very best place for a child is in a family. That is why she is working alongside national Kenyan partners to rescue boys living on the streets, restore their lives, provide shelter, a trade, physical and spiritual nourishment, and reunite them with their families. The Worthy family has recognized the importance of investing in relationships and in Italian culture, which is why they have planted their lives in Italy for the past 17 years. College students have dropped the term hard places from their vocabulary and are responding to go anywhere in the world where people don't have access to the gospel. We treasure Jesus and His gospel above all. But let us remember, we are not called to hoard the gospel, but to herald it far and wide. We are not called to stockpile the gospel, but to send it forth to those yet in darkness that they may see the light of Jesus Christ and live.
Good morning. If you had picked up a little one of our Lottie Moon pamphlets from out from the back there, or last week, or even this morning, and you looked at what the video was going to be for today, you would have been wrong, because this is different. Obviously, this is a different year, and even the earliest materials we got for Lottie Moon promoted was a different video for today. But as COVID has changed the message around the world, they changed this video. You know, can you imagine? Well, you know exactly what you're going through right here in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, or Stokesdale, or I'm sure you're not from very far around, but you may be listening from far around, but I think we're all in the same boat. But you're out in a place that has very little or no medical care. Certainly there's not a hospital in these places where these missionaries have taken their families. And they've taken their families there with the trust and faith that Jesus is going to be with them and protect them. It's kind of stressful right here in Oak Ridge, and we have a hospital just down the road here in Greensboro that's dedicated to COVID. Can you imagine the parents of children that have taken their families out of some area like this and are now in an area where they truly are trusting Jesus to keep their family alive? So obviously they changed the video to the message of together, and we are all together in this world in this pandemic. Now, we're certainly not all together in this world in our faith in Jesus Christ, but that's why we have these missionaries out in the field working. Again, if you're not familiar with Lottie Moon, this Christmas offering is solely dedicated to international missions. All of the money goes to help support those that are on the field that work for the International Mission Board. What's interesting about this gentleman that was in the video, this preacher, you know, it takes a little bit of detective work, but if you saw at the very first of the video, you saw the board at his church that he was pulling up to. Well, that church is in Mount Airy, North Carolina. It's Christ Community. And the pastor's name is David Brady. He was born in Guyana, South America, to missionary parents. And so obviously his life began on the mission field. And so certainly he has a lot of invested in his family and his time. I thought it was pretty neat that it was also a pastor right here in North Carolina. So as we talked last week, it only works if we take up the offering. So there are envelopes back there in the back. You don't have to have an envelope. All you have to do is have cash or a check and somehow designate that to Lottie Moon. If you give online, if you go to our website and click the online giving, you can denote in there your gift to Lottie Moon, and it will get counted in that way. Traditionally, these next two Sundays, and we're going to do it again because we don't have many traditions that we get to hold here at Christmas, but traditionally, we call these next two Sundays in gatherings. And what that means here at Central is that's a time that we bring our offering and lay it on the altar and we pray for that. We're still going to do that. And if you're in here next Sunday and you've not given your offering yet and you want to bring it up here, there's going to be a time that you can lay it up here and you can say a prayer for your offering, and Roy will bless that offering. And we'll do that for the next 2 weeks. Obviously, if you're in the sanctuary, you can do the same thing. Take it down to the altar there. but we can all pray together. And as Roy leads us the next 2 weeks in our in-gathering, we want to ask that these gifts reach these international missionaries. You know, they rely on us. They rely on the Southern Baptist and this offering to survive. So prayerfully consider what you can do this year. You can give today. You don't have to wait on the in-gathering, but we'll have that for the next 2 weeks. If you're online and if you just want to rewatch this video, since it wasn't originally the part, Don's will replay it at 3 o'clock today. So thanks.
Speak and deep.
Chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. You know, last week as we entered into, at least unofficially, in my part, the Christmas season, we paused and viewed Mary's situation. You know, we looked at the fact that here she was, this godly but yet naive teenage girl that the angel visited and said, "You have found favor with the Lord, so you will be the one to carry the only begotten Son of our God." This had been anticipated and waited on for centuries and centuries. The prophets had foretold about that. And it was one of those circumstances that was ramping up prophetic activity in the Word of God to culminate around God's plan for salvation for you and I. Now, as you find that, I want you to do something for me here along the way, just simply because we're living in a COVID world, at least for right now. But for those of you that are in here with us, I want you to look over to some group that's not your group and wave at them. Good job. Now, if you're outside in the parking lot in the cars, look over at the car beside you and wave at somebody. Okay, you got that? If you're in the sanctuary, look over there and wave at somebody, just to let them know you love them and that you care about them. Now, in doing so, I'm going to ask our online community as well. Do you have little emojis and icons that you can put on there? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to say hello to somebody online. And you can't cheat because Dr. Gant's going to be watching. So if you're part of our online community, say hello to some name down there that you might not even know. I know some of y'all are going, "I just can't do that. That's like talking in church." Well, it's all right. You've just been given permission to talk in church and also provide feedback. But today, as we go forward, there's always been a verse that I think sometimes gets overlooked. But this for this whole past week, it's just been something that's been on my heart and on my mind in regard to the passages that we're going to look at today. So go ahead and look with me, if you would, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 3. Now, leading into this, we know that in the Christmas story, there was the census or the tax that was going to be taking place. And the way that things worked out with that was that the people had to go back to essentially their hometown to be registered or taxed, depending on, you know, how you read it, but that's what it was all about. They had to go back and fill out the paperwork, I guess, and pay their money. So Joseph and Mary were going to have to take a trip. Now, you have to understand that yeah, I can imagine what it must have been like with her pregnancy along the way. Probably some ridicule. I know that she had joy in her heart. That's what the angel had told her. But when Mary and Joseph had to make this journey, it couldn't have been at a more inconvenient time. Now, my wife has had a child before, and I know what the term means. I love the biblical term for when somebody is extremely pregnant. That's the best way to say it. It's the easy way I know. But the word says that Mary was great with child. That means she was nearing the end phases. Well, the journey still had to happen. They still had to get down there to be registered or pay those taxes, which was all part of God's plan along the way. Could you imagine how inconvenient that must have been for Mary, being great with child, having to, you know, get upon the back of a beast of burden or walk? I mean, sometimes I've seen women that, like, man, if you get up on your feet, they just go, you know, particularly when you're at that particular phase. So this was something that had complications along the way with it. Now, when they get there, they found something, you know, completely different. Maybe something that they didn't even expect. And we're going to look at that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. It says, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." Verse 6, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there were no room for them in the inn." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you would help us for these moments to truly focus upon you. Lord, to look at our lives from your perspective today as you lead us. Help us, Father, where there's correction that's needed to make correction. Lord, help us where joy needs to be expressed. Help us to be joyous in your presence. But Father, in all that we do, help us to hear from you today, for we know that that's what you want. We know that you've got a message for each of us individually. And we know that if we have come today seeking, then we truly will find. So speak to our hearts, Lord. Use this, your servant, as only you can. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a while ago I said that there was a complication, I guess you could call it, that really has just, particularly more so this past week than in times past, has stuck in my mind, and it comes out of verse 7. Now, we know what the story is telling us there. It's saying that they had made this journey, and I can imagine how complicated it was, only to get there to find out they don't have a place they can stay. Imagine that burden on Joseph as well. Here is Joseph, you know, his dreams are not everything that he thought they were going to be, although, you know, he had also followed what the Lord had said in not being afraid to take Mary as your wife. He had done everything he was supposed to be doing. But do you ever have those days where nothing seems to go right? How many of y'all have those? I mean, just right out of the gate. You're like, well, what can go wrong next? Don't ask that question, because you're getting ready to find out, right? What's going to happen? So Joseph and Mary make this journey. I'm not saying Mary was cranky. She might have been. I don't know. But I know she was probably miserable. She makes this journey. They get down there, and I can just picture it now. They go by the first inn hotel. Oh, I'm sorry, no vacancy. The no vacancy light on. Yeah, how easy would it be after going three or four different places for Mary to sit back and say, Joseph, you didn't use Expedia and get us a room beforehand? Were you just not prepared? Did you not phone ahead? What is the matter with you? Listen, when we get in positions like that, it begins to start to erode our mood, doesn't it? We begin to look at those circumstances and situations and say, I'll tell you what, I'm just doing things right, and nothing ever seems to work out for me. I quit. I'm done. How many of you have been there? Probably sometime in this past week. I'm done. I'm finished with this. You know, we don't read about what the attitude was of Joseph and Mary. All we know is that at this particular point, when they got there, notice it says that it was time for her to deliver. So not only could they not find a room, all of a sudden, to make matters worse, Mary goes, Joseph, it's time. And Joseph's probably going, whoa, this is not convenient right now, honey, don't, stop. Shut it off. Do whatever you got to do. Stop this from happening right now. We're not in the right position for this to happen. Look, we don't even have a room. I'm working on it. I don't know anybody around. what are we going to do? You've been there? What are we going to do? Notice what it says. And it says that the days, verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Mary couldn't shut it off. Mary couldn't stop it. That baby was coming. You ladies that have had children know you can try, but you ain't going to stop it. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen in his time. And it says, so she brought forth, verse 7, her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the part that has really stuck with me over this past week is that phrase, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, we've seen it at times in the Christmas stories before and in the Christmas plays that we may have viewed in our lifetime, although that's a piece that hasn't probably for the past decade really been included in your Christmas dramas. It's not like it used to be that is a part that is actually included. But it says that that what happened was she had the baby, and there was no place for her to go. Now, we know that from the Christmas story that she wound up being, you know, in a stable. We know that she wound up wrapping Jesus in swaddling clothes. And folks, those aren't the fine linen clothes. Those are essentially rags. Those are actually grave cloths is what they are. It says, and she laid him in a manger, the place where cattle and animals fed. In other words, Jesus was wrapped up in rags and laid in a feed trough, our King. And why was that? That verse 7 tells us, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I don't know about you. It takes me a little while to get to this particular point, but how many of you all don't like clutter? Don't like clutter. You don't like stuff just piling up. How many of you that just raised your hand that don't like clutter have clutter? And that's probably why we don't like it. But have you ever noticed what we do is, and I'll use the nice term, and call it collectors. We're collectors. And we collect a lot of stuff, don't we? And have you ever been to that point where you've gotten something and you like that something and maybe you bought something for Christmas, a decoration for your house or something, and you got home and you walked in and there is absolutely no place for it. And you're like, well, what are we going to do now? Because you don't want to lose any of the other stuff that you have. And essentially what happens is we can wind up being hoarders. I liked what the fellow said in the video. It's not about us hoarding the gospel. It's about us getting it out there. But all of us have at least some little place that we hoard stuff. You might not be an official hoarder. You might not wind up on the TV show. But the thing about it is you got a closet. How many of y'all got a junk closet? Come on now, confession. You got a junk closet somewhere. If not, let me show you around the church. We got several around here. All right, how many of you got a junk drawer? It's just a catch-all. You put stuff in that drawer. And then you'll go open it, and you'll get upset because it's full, and you're like, but you're not going to throw anything away. You're going to stuff it in there somehow. You're either that or you're going to start another drawer. Now, what does all that have to do with this? I mean, most of us, when we look at the situation of Mary and Joseph, if they showed up on our doorstep, and you can see her, man, she is about ready to have a child. Here's this young couple. They need a place to lay their head. Most of us would try our best to accommodate them in some way, wouldn't we? Now, we don't know exactly what happened other than the fact that there were no accommodations. There was no room. You know, every one of us at some place and some point in our life have been left out. And it didn't feel good. You were left out because there was no room. Maybe it was a time back when you were in school and all your friends were going someplace and you arrived and there was only one car and they looked at you and said, you know, sorry, full up. There's just no room. Maybe there was that time when you were wanting to go somewhere and you just couldn't go because there was no room. Do you remember feeling left out? Do you remember feeling like you had been somewhat shunned by those that were around you? And you're sitting there trying to, first thing you're trying to think is, well, we can, look, if we scoot over this way, then there might be enough room for me to get in. Or I can ride in the trunk or the hatchback or whatever. And they're like, nope, we're full up. You see, folks, here's the thing. When we get to that particular point, and when we get things so full, when we get our lives so full, then something has to be sacrificed. There comes a point in time where you can't get anything else in that junk drawer. There comes a point in a time where you can't fit in the car. There comes a point in a time where for something to more to fit in, something has to come out. You know what I'm saying? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Now, when I look at this situation, what has just been so convicting in my heart over the past over this past week was that verse. Let me go up to it again. Verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. There was room for other things, weren't there? Now, I want to draw this parallel. This is something that actually happened. But I believe along the way, too, it's metaphoric for your life and for my life as well. When it comes down to Jesus in your life, is there room for him in your life? Or is there no room for Jesus in the inn of your heart? You see, back in that day, there was no room for Jesus, but there was plenty of room for business to take place. Now, I'm not saying that that wasn't a good idea on behalf of those in Jerusalem of that day. I'm sure that the innkeepers were joyous about the fact that the census or the tax was taking place, because that meant that they were going to be booked out. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not hammering those folks for conducting business. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is not hammering your life for conducting business. But when it comes to the point that business takes the place of Jesus and there's no room in your life for Jesus because you're too busy with your business, then folks, you're too busy. It is time for you to remove something from your life so that Jesus fits in. Now, some of you out there, where are my schedule people? You write stuff down. You put it on a list. You have it on time frames. You've got it down there to the minute. And there are times that when you will fill your schedule. How many of you all overfill your schedule? Be honest now. You overfill it. You put so much stuff on there. You will look at your schedule and you'll see that it's full. And you're like, oh, I can work it in here. I can do that at like 3:54 a.m. Folks, that's not what life's all about. Listen, Jesus is not upset with you because he's given you talents and abilities to work your job. But what he gets upset with you about is when you leave him out of your life because you say, you know what, I'm too busy. That word stings, doesn't it? I'm just too busy. Preacher, I'd love to come down there and be in church, but I'm just too busy. I'd love to be able to be with God. I'd love to be able to exercise my talent and ability. I would love to be able to stand up for Jesus, but man, my schedule's just too full. You know what you've just told Jesus? There's no room for him. That's what you've told him. There was room for the business of the innkeepers in Jerusalem of that day. There was no room for Jesus in the homes of the people of Bethlehem in that day. Let me ask you today, I said metaphorically, this goes along with our lives today, is there room for Jesus in your home? Is he welcome? Is he welcome in all facets, in all areas, in all rooms? I love that expression that we use at times when somebody comes in, they say, make yourself at home. How many of y'all have ever said that? Make yourself at home. How many of you have ever had somebody take you up on that? Matter of fact, it almost got to where it felt a little uncomfortable. You know, they're sitting there talking to you, and the next thing you know, they're over there opening the fridge, going through it. Yeah, you got any mustard with this turkey? Now, wait a minute, you told them make themselves at home. And they're making themselves at home. Folks, listen, Jesus doesn't just want to make himself at home in your life. He wants to be the home of your life. Is there room for him in your life? Is your schedule just too busy? Is your home too busy? Listen, is your home a place where people know that you profess and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Do your actions, do your deeds show that Jesus is paramount within your life? Or is it just something you add on? Folks, I've said this a bunch before, and it's not meant to be directed at anybody or anything, but I'll tell you this. You're living your life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday really shows what you believe, not just what you do on Sunday morning at church. And I like what a lot of people had said in the past. They said, man, you used to be able to get 50 people to come squirt mustard on hot dogs, but you can't get two to go out and visit somebody about their salvation. Folks, you can't get 50 people to squirt mustard on hot dogs in this day and age. Is there room for Jesus? We make room for everything else. There was room for the ball game. There's room for entertainment. There's room to go out to eat. There's room for all these other things. But have you made room for Jesus and what he's asked you to do? Have you sacrificed something for the Savior? As he comes to your heart today, I'm not saying if he comes to your heart today, I am saying as he comes to your heart today, as he has taken the light, as he has shown the light upon your heart, he's asking you today, is there room in your life for me? And some of you are sitting back going, well, yeah, there is. I've trusted Jesus. I gave him my life years and years ago. That wasn't the question he asked you. The question he asked you is there room for me? Are you going to take me with you? Did you provide a seat for me? Is there a room at the house for me? Is there a place for me to be there? Do I get to change the remote control? Do I get to be a part of everything that's going on? Or have you just boxed him up like a genie in a bottle? Well, I don't need him. I don't need him yet, but when things get bad, oh, okay, here we go. Come on out, Lord, I need your help. I would use that old adage, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right? You know, there's been that time in your life when you've been excluded, when you've been left out because there was no room for you, and it hurt you. It broke your heart. Listen, the same is true with our Savior today. And then all of a sudden, those same people that hurt your feelings needed something from you or came back to you or even just came back around. Remember how you felt? Let me just show you how you felt. That's how you felt. Honestly, right? That was what it was. You just like, well, I won't be in that position again. And it was because you were hurt. It was because there was no room for you. Back in the days of Jesus, there was room for business. There was room in homes for other things. There was room for the social life that people had. Hey, we got to go down there. Let's just make a big party out of it. But there was no room for Jesus. And because of that, he came into this world in a barn. Imagine the fragrance of the barn. I grew up around barns. I know what they smell like. Does that sound like the best place? Is that where you would like to have your children, ladies? And then when he was born, you didn't get one of them nice blankets from the baby store. It was all they had, just essentially what were considered grave clothing that he was wrapped up in to keep him warm. And he didn't have one of the nice little bassinets or one of them neat little carriers to carry him around in. Didn't have a little stroller. So to give Mary a break from holding and feeding times, they would lay him in a feed trough. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Now it's a catch 22 thing there, right? Here's why. You see, that was God's plan. It's a little hard to be tough on the innkeepers and everybody else because that was God's plan. Why was it God's plan? It was God's plan so that everybody would know that Jesus, the newborn king, wasn't just for the rich and famous. He was for each and every person that would ever breathe, that would ever be born. It was so that he might live that 33 years of sinless life, that he might go to Calvary's cross with all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, to provide you and I hope and to provide you and I a way of salvation that we may be able to be delivered from sin. For you, for me. That's what Jesus did. And I look at us today, and I look at this is a toe stepper. My toes are hurting. That's why I limped up here today. Why? Because we're all guilty of having our schedules so cluttered, so full, having our lives so cluttered and so full that we ain't got room for nothing else. If we're honest, we'll admit that. And we need to clean some of that stuff up. I love it. I've gotten industrious or ingenious or whatever you've said before, and I go in there and say, I'm tired of this. I'm gonna clean this up. And then you know what happens? Get the trash bags. Better yet, back a dumpster up here. And then you're like, ooh, I can't get rid of that. What's this? Ooh, I forgot about those. Well, what? And by the time you get done, you got like one scrap of paper in the bag, and all you've done is move the clutter from here to here. Amen? It's time to let go of some things that are not important for the things that are more important in your life. Jesus said, I want this area. And we say, you can have this little place. You need to get this away. Listen, some of our lives are so bad that the Holy Spirit's going through them like this. Because of all of the stuff and all of the clutter. Listen, the Lord says, let me clean this room up. And some of you today are scared about that. You're scared of that. Because you're afraid he's going to throw away something you really want or like. Now, I don't know about you, but I've watched that. Have you ever watched that show, Hoarders? That's amazing to me. Well, I've seen some houses. I've been in some houses where that's the way. You don't know what on earth is gonna happen there. And I'm like, why are you keeping this? This is a 1936 newspaper. Something special about that? Well, my granddaddy was in there. He had given money to the lodge, and they had... Ooh, okay. I get it. But folks, what are we holding on to that we're shutting Jesus out? It's important. Folks, it's important for us to be able to come together and to worship him as a church. Yeah, Satan's trying everything he can. Listen, we're 6 feet apart, but it's important for us to get here together, to do life together, to contribute. And listen, folks, you that are sitting at home, we understand that. But understand, too, that church is also about what you can contribute, not just what you can get. It's doing life together. How many times have we said, Lord, I'm going to put you on the back burner for this? Now, I'm going to get in trouble right now, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to get in trouble. Y'all not going to like it, but determine whether or not it's true. The world will try to creep into the areas that are designed for Jesus, and you know that. You know it. Do not allow that to happen. Because you know what we're teaching? We're teaching our children what is important by what we do and what we allow. Because they're going to do the same thing. And I've said, I've had people ask me before. They say, well, yeah, is it all right because of baseball season for my children to be, you know, on Sunday? You answer that question. You ask Jesus and let him, because you're showing your children what's important. And if it's not important to you, it will never be important to them. If you're willing to sacrifice, and listen, our kids are the smartest generation I have seen. Let me make you a promise. They might not hear, you might not think they're hearing all the good stuff that you're telling them, but let me make you a promise. You say one bad or wrong thing, they heard it, didn't they? Because you're going to hear it repeated. What are we teaching them? Are we teaching them that it is all right to crowd Jesus out or to put him on standby? Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When it comes to the end of your life, is there room for Jesus? How perfectly this text fits the narrative of our lives today. Have you made room in your heart for Jesus Christ? Is it cluttered? Listen, I don't know about you, but man, that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit can get on me about is the clutter. The Lord says, look, me and you got an appointment. We got an appointment in the Word and to pray today. Well, Lord, I don't have time today because I got to get on to work. And when you come back in, he says, man, you got an appointment in here today and to spend some time in prayer. Well, I can't because I've got this to do with the kids. Well, we got an appointment. Well, I can't because dinner's on the table. Well, listen, before you go to bed, could we spend a little bit of time together? You know what? It's been such a long day. I'm so tired. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's every last one of us, if we're honest. You have to make room for Jesus. You have to make it. It's not going to magically appear. I know the way you are because people will ask you to do things and you will be going down the road going, I'll tell you one thing. If somebody asked me to do one more thing, my schedule is so full. Blah, blah, blah. You know why they ask you to do things? Let me tell you why they ask you to do things. Because you get them done. You'll do it and you'll get it done. You don't go say, oh, there's one of the most undependable people in the world. Let's go ask them to do it. That isn't how that works. You find the person that's dependable and say, hey, could you help me out here? And in your heart, you really don't want to at times. It's not that you're a bad person, but you are just so overloaded in your schedule, you can't say no. Where are my I can't say no people? Some of y'all are out there going, some of y'all just lied. You need to repent because you are. You don't know how to say no. You don't know how to say no. And Satan will use that against you. Oh, they're good things. People ask you to do good. They're not bad things. They're good things. If Satan can just keep you busy with good things so that you forego the best things of God, he'll just do that to you all the time. Is there room? Have you made room for Jesus? Yeah, that's part of the reason why we say that we do our Christmas Eve communion. I had somebody say one time, well, why are you doing it on Christmas Eve? That's the worst time to do it. And I was like, what? No, I think it's the best time to do it, really. You know, I didn't say anything about Santa Claus. I didn't say anything about Christmas trees. I didn't say anything about mistletoe. As a matter of fact, we got a beautiful one right behind us. But you got to keep it in this proper perspective. to pause on Christmas Eve to say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings in my life and for salvation. Thank you for coming incarnate as the newborn babe who surrendered his life and picked it back up that I might have eternal life. Yep, they went down there. Didn't seem like things were bad. Mary, honey, I ain't got no place for you. I've tried. I can't find any place that'll put us up. She's like, it's time, it's time. And Jesus came along, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm going to ask Lynn if she would come on up here in just a moment. We're going to have a time of dedication, invitation, whatever the term you might want to use. But today I'm asking you this question. The Holy Spirit has posed it in your heart today. Is there room in your life for Jesus? It's real simple. For those who don't know him, for those who have never trusted him as Lord and Savior, he's asking, is there room? I'm knocking. Will you let me in? He's not going to force his way in, but will you allow him in? Will you say, yes, Lord, I'm opening that door. I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive my sins and come into my life and save my soul. Wherever you may be, if that's what the Lord's put on your heart, just simply ask him, Lord Jesus, today I'm asking you to save my soul and forgive my sin. Help me, Lord, to live for you. And now listen, if you did that, there's nothing magical about that. That's just your confession to the Father that you know him and you believe him and you trust him. And there's joy in heaven today for you because you did that. Listen, we want to help you. If that's you, we want to help get you some resources and some information. We're not going to bother you, but we just want to help you to grow in your faith. If you're part of our online community, let Dr. Gant know. You know, we'll get you some information. We want to celebrate with you as well. If you're here, let us know. If you're on campus, let us know. We want to be able to celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and yes, you've heard the call, the knock of Jesus in your life, and you've opened the door, but you have moved him around. You have crowded him off. You have lost him in the clutter that's called your life. And all the while, Jesus is buried somewhere going, hey, I'm over here. And you can hear him, but you can't quite find him because your life is so busy. And there are so many things that have just crowded him out. Oh, he's still there. But he don't want to be in the pile in the corner. He wants you to clean that room out specifically for him. That you and him might have communion with that. I love that fact. And sometimes when kids are around and parents fill up the rest of the house, they start filling up their kids' room. Remember a time when you walked in and you're like, what's this doing in here? Well, that's our new plant. Well, why don't you put it in the living room? I don't want it in my room. Well, there's no other place for it. And then all of a sudden it just starts getting overtaken. Listen, man, admit it today to the Lord that your life just got overtaken by life. And say, it's time to clean the room up. You can simply say, Lord, today I realize the clutter. I realize that there's some cleaning up that needs to be done. Help me, Father. Show me the way as only you can. As I pray it in Jesus' name. You know what? It's really interesting that when you did that, Jesus came in. He goes, okay, back the dumpster up. That there, that there, that here, there, there, move that. And you're sitting there going, you're scared. Clear the clutter. As we spend this moment in prayer, What is it that God's asked you to do? To make room in the end of your life. As Lynn sings, clean it up. And we'll close in prayer. Aren't we thankful to God that He can wash us clean? Amen? Hallelujah. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. with God's people. I'm going to close us in prayer in just a minute. Just as a reminder, first of all, thank you so much for being so faithful to your tithe and offering, that God might not only bless you, but he would also bless us in being able to keep the gospel going forward. So if you have your tithe offering, don't forget, I believe, Tony, there are Lottie Moon envelopes on that table as well. If you want to give to the Lottie Moon offering, you can put it in one of those offerings. If it's in one of those envelopes, then we are assured that it goes in the right place. You don't have to have that, but if you use one of our regular envelopes, be sure you put Lottie Moon on it as well. We'll make sure it gets in the right direction. We have in-gathering the next two Sundays, so if you haven't already given, and we just ask, hey, just like we did with our Operation Christmas Child boxes, it is a sacrifice. It is something you are giving to the Lord. So we are asking you to pray for that and pray for the people who will receive it. Pray for those missionaries that you hopefully have been praying for this past week, but we'll continue to pray for them and be the support. You are the support God has put in their way to give them the opportunity to spread the gospel. If you're in a multi-purpose building, the box sitting there on the table as you go out is the offering box. You can drop it in there. If you are outside, I believe we have a box set up outside as well. If you are in our sanctuary, you can put your offering in the offering plates down in the front of the church, and those will be collected here momentarily. So don't forget, the Lottie Moon post office is outside the kitchen over there. We're going to do Christmas Eve communion at 6 o'clock and 6:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Awana is tonight at the youth, 5:30. Everybody else, 6 o'clock. And have I forgotten anything? So far, so good. At any rate, listen, I love you. It's so good to see your faces. I am so blessed to be able to be called your pastor. I love each and every one of you and look forward to it being a great, great Christmas as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. May the end of our life truly magnify him. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful for all of the provision in our lives. Lord, provision that we don't even know about. But Lord, especially the jobs that you've given us that allow us the paychecks that we have. And Lord, as we come to that time to be faithful, to give back that small portion that you have so blessed us with, help us to be faithful in doing so. And Lord, we pray that you will take the tithe and the offering and that you will multiply it for your honor, for your glory, to be used for your kingdom. Lord, for our Lottie Moon offering, we ask a special blessing upon that, as we will over the next couple of weeks, that you would empower your servants, Lord, to keep them on the field, to keep them preaching Jesus to the folks that you've led them to. So Lord, bless our church as only you can. Father, we know COVID is a tough time, but Lord, you have made a resilient people that needed this place called Central Baptist Church. We pray that you'll lead us and guide us, and we do so asking all this in Jesus' name. Also, leadership team meeting at 4 o'clock today. So if you're part of our leadership team, we will be meeting virtually today at 4 o'clock. God bless you. I love you. Merry Christmas. We'll see you later.